I just want to start with prayer today. Just pray with me. God, God, we come before you this morning by faith. By faith, we pray to you, the one that spoke the universe into existence, the one that breathed the breath of life into man. By faith, we pray to you, the one that called us out of darkness. By faith, we pray to you, the God that heals and delivers and redeems. By faith, God, we cry out to you, the God that split the Red Sea, that brought down the walls of Jericho, the God that removed the three from the fire. God, the one that saves us, the one that heals us, the one that restores us. God, we pray by faith to you, God. We pray by faith this morning, God, that you would be in us and work through us and work around us, God. We pray by faith, Lord, that you would work in every heart here, that you would take captive every thought here, God, that you would just well up in every spirit here, God. We pray by faith, God, that you would restore us all to you, God, that you would reconcile us, God, through the Son to the Father, that your Spirit would be alive and active in our hearts and in our minds and in our very souls, God, that your Spirit would be alive in our family and in our workplaces and in our schools and on the street, God, that your Spirit would move with power. By faith we pray this morning, not to ask you for anything, God, but just to celebrate you, not because of what you've done, but because of who you are, to celebrate you, God, to show that we're thankful, God, to show that we worship you, God, to show that we just come before you, not to ask you, God, but to surrender to you our lives. Our lives, God, our very lives, our breath, God, we surrender to you this morning, God. Whatever you want to do, wherever you want us to go, God, whatever you would have us to be, God, we surrender to you right now in this moment, God. Let things be different from here. God, we surrender. We surrender. And in that we are free. In Jesus' name, amen. And amen. Can we just give God praise this morning? Can we? I think the expectation is that, at least the one I put on myself, is that I'll come up here every Sunday morning and say something clever. And by my words or by my passion, that I would inspire people to follow God. Inspire people to open themselves up to His Spirit. But I just want to remove those expectations today. I just want to remove, man, what would happen? What would happen if we just gathered together just to read the Word of God? Because I guarantee you that the author of this Word says these things in a much more powerful way than I could ever dream of saying it. And so today, and I'm not going to have you stand because you'd be standing all day. Today, I just want you to listen. Just listen to the Word of God. I'm just going to read the Word of God. Is that enough today?
Yes.
Is that enough?
Yes.
I'm just going to read the Word of God today. I'm going to start in Hebrews 10 and verse 37. I'm going to read like a lot of scripture. So just listen, not just with your ears, but just listen with your heart today. Hebrews 10:37 says this, "For yet in a very little while the coming one will come and not delay." Now, I preached a few weeks back out of 2 Peter, and it says that he delays, but not in the way that people think that he delays. He delays because of his grace, because there's somebody that still needs him. So he doesn't delay. He's not late. He's waiting because of his great mercy, his great grace. But there will come a time when he's not going to delay anymore. There'll come a time when he's going to return. "But my righteous one will live by faith. If he draws back, I'll have no pleasure in him." I've got this circled in my Bible. I don't remember circling it, but here it is in red. Verse 39, "But we are not those." Say, "We are not those."
"We are not those."
"We are not those who draw back and are destroyed, but those who have faith and are saved." We are not those that draw back and are destroyed, but we are those that have faith. and are saved. Yeah, this is totally different than what I preached first service. I've done this one other time since we started the church, but here we are. Hebrews 11, verse 1. Now, faith is the reality of what is hoped for, the proof of what is not seen. For by it... Hang on, let me go back, man. Now, faith is the reality of what is hoped for. What is hoped for? Grace is hoped for. Above all other things, grace is what is hoped for. If that's not what your ultimate hope is the grace of God, then you're hoping wrong. You're hoping wrong. That should be our ultimate hope, is the grace of God. That's it. And faith is the proof of what is not seen. Man, what is the great unseen? God. Amen. What is hoped for is grace. What is unseen is the Spirit. And God is the Spirit. For by it our ancestors won God's approval. By faith. Say by faith. We understand that the universe was created by the word of God, so that what is seen was made from things that are not visible. By faith, Abel offered up to God a better sacrifice than Cain did. By faith, he was approved as a righteous man because God approved of his gifts. And even though he's dead, he still speaks through his... By faith, Enoch was taken away, and so he did not experience death. He was not to be... found because God took him away, for because he was taken away, he was approved as one who pleased God. Now, without faith, it is impossible to please God, since the one who draws near to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who seek him. By faith, Noah, after he was warned about what was not yet seen and motivated by godly fear, built an ark to deliver his family. By faith, really, he delivered Shem. Look it up. That's why he built the ark, was for Shem. He's in the lineage of Christ. Just a side note. By godly fear, he built an ark to deliver his family. By faith, he was condemned by the world and became an heir of the righteousness that comes by faith. By faith, Abraham, when he was called, obeyed and set out for a place that he was going to receive as an inheritance. He went out, even though he did not know where he was going. By faith, he stayed as a foreigner in the land of promise, living in tents, as did Isaac and Jacob, co-heirs of the same promise. For he was looking forward to the city that has foundations. Wow. He was looking forward to the city that has foundations, whose architect and builder is God. Did we just sing a song about that? That foundation is the love of God. Man, that's the city I want to go to. Amen. Man, they keep all their cities here. They keep their smog and their big buildings. And they keep their stores and they keep their traffic and they keep all that junk. Man, I want to go to a city where the foundation is the love of God. I want to go to a city that's built from the Spirit of the living God. Man, I want to go to a city to where the rivers flow with the grace of God. Man, I want to go to a city whose architect and builder is Jesus Christ. Can somebody say amen? By faith, even Sarah herself, when she was unable to have children, received power to conceive offspring. We've lived that life. I've lived that life. Man, they told my wife that she was barren. They told me that I couldn't produce an offspring. They told us both. 8 years later, we have a Logan. 8 years later, we have a Logan who's bigger than me. And then God didn't just do it once, man. He did it again. Can somebody say amen? 13 years later, we have a Titus. And man said that neither one of them could exist. We've lived it. The world said there couldn't be an Isaac. But there was. So I just want to prophesy to you today, whatever you're going through, I don't care what the world says, man. Let God have His way. Man, let God have His way. Man, it's not, they say it's not over. Well, we won't mention that, but they say it's not over till the cows come home or to the... It's not over till my God says it's over. It's not over till my God says it's over. It's not over till Jesus Christ says it is finished. Can you say amen? I like this, man. We may do this more often. I'm just going by what God's given me. Even though she was past the age of one, considered that one who had promised, even though she was past the age, since she considered that the one who had promised was faithful. We sang about that too, didn't we? Therefore, from one man, in fact, from one as good as dead, came the offspring as numerous as the stars of the sky and innumerable as the grains of the sand along the seashore. These all died in faith, although they had not received the things that were promised. But they saw them from a distance, greeted them, and confessed that they were foreigners and temporary residents on the earth. I'll come back to that in a minute. Now those who say such things make it clear that they are seeking a homeland. If they were thinking about where they came from, they would have the opportunity to return. But now they desire a better place, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for He has prepared a city for them. Man, I want faith like that. I want it to be known that this is my temporary residence. I don't want to get caught up on the things of the world. I don't want to focus on what's going on around me right now. I want to stop worrying about my circumstance and start living by the power of my Savior. Can you say amen? I mean, who else wants to live like that? Who else wants to live like that? Man, come on. I want to go about my life by the power of the Holy Spirit of the living God. I want to wake up in the morning, get out of bed by His Spirit, by His glory. I want to live by faith. I want to put my feet on the ground by faith, not faith in the ground. I want to put my feet on the ground by faith in the ground. I want to put my feet on the ground by faith in my God. I don't want to breathe by faith in the breath that I'm taking in. I want to breathe by faith in my God that made that breath, man. I want to live my life not based on where I'm at, but based on who He is. Everything about who He is. Everything about who He is. Not what I see, not what I taste, not what I smell, just who He is. Just who He is. Let me find my place. By faith, Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac. What about when He gives you the promise and then He asks for it back? What are you going to do then? Your faith ever been tested? Has it? What grade did you get on your faith test? What grade? D? Yeah, D. Yeah, me too. I'm like a D student in faith. I don't fail all the time, but I fail enough. But He's getting me better. He's got me in special tutoring classes right now. Yeah, I'm in like the GED faith program. There's nothing wrong with that. It's cool. I like it, man. I'm in the remedial faith class right now. He's taking me to school. I'm like the three disciples, as Jeff Cooper says, man. He's got me close. He's drawing me close, man, so he can increase my faith so that the next time that my faith gets tested, man, I can come out on the positive side of things. If your faith ain't being tested right now, get ready. Pop quiz. Pop quiz coming up. Pop quiz coming up. Are you ready? And the way that we pass the test is based on the past experiences that we've had. And we've got to put our faith, not in what He does. And I talked about this first service, just a real quick snippet, man. Our faith can't be in what He does, because we don't know what He's going to do. I mean, if you know what God's going to do, then cue me in, because He loses me all the time. I don't know what He's going to do, but I know who He is. I know who He is. And because I know who He is, it doesn't matter what happens. It doesn't matter what happens to me. It doesn't matter what happens around me, because I know who He is. Do you know who He is today? I mean, do you know who He is? Because when you know who He is, you can live by faith. When you know who He is, no matter what circumstance that you come to in your life, you can live by faith. You can keep putting one foot in front of another just because you know who He is. And we can live by faith, and we can walk by faith, and we can decide by faith, and we can overcome by faith, and we can just, man, we can do everything that we need to do by faith. By faith, when he was tested, Abraham offered up Isaac. He received the promises, yet he was offering his one and only son, the one whom it had been said, your offspring will be called through Isaac. He considered God to be able even to raise someone from the dead. Therefore, he received him back, figuratively speaking. By faith, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come. By faith, when he was dying, blessed each one of his sons, each one of the sons of Joseph. And he worshiped, leaning on the top of his staff. By faith, Joseph, as he was nearing the end of his life, mentioned the exodus of the Israelites and gave instructions concerning his bones. By faith, Moses, after he was born, was hidden by his parents for 3 months because they saw that the child was beautiful and they didn't fear the king's edict. By faith, Moses, when he had grown up, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter and chose to suffer with the people of God rather than to enjoy the fleeting pleasure of sin. Does that sound like a prosperity gospel to you? For he considered reproach for the sake of Christ to be greater than the wealth and the treasures of Egypt. Can you say amen? Since he was looking ahead to the reward, by faith he left Egypt behind, not being afraid of the king's anger. For Moses persevered as one who sees the end, as one who sees him who is invisible. That's God. By faith, he instituted the Passover and the sprinkling of the blood so that the destroyer of the firstborn might not touch the Israelites. By faith, they crossed the Red Sea as though they were on dry land. When the Egyptians attempted to do this, they were drowned. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell down after being marched around by the Israelites for 7 days. By faith, Rahab the prostitute welcomed the spies in peace and didn't perish with those who disobeyed. And thank God for that. Thank God for that. Thank God that Rahab had enough faith to do what God was telling her to do and not what her countrymen were telling her to do. Because of that, we have a Jesus. Can you say amen? And what more can I say? Time is too short for me to tell. Yeah, time really is too short for me to tell about Gideon. Although I will tell you a little bit about Gideon. Jesus Christ pre-incarnate appeared to Gideon and said, "Hey, mighty warrior," while he was hiding down in a wine press trying to make dinner for his family. He didn't look like a mighty warrior, but it didn't matter what was going on around him. It didn't matter the circumstance that he found himself in. What matters is who he is and who we are in him. The rest of the stuff can go where Carly said stuff can go. All that matters is who he is and who we are in him. Barak, Samson, Japheth, David, Samuel, the prophets who by faith conquered kingdoms, administered justice, obtained promises, shut the mouths of lions, quenched the raging fire, escaped the edge of the sword, gained strength in weakness, became mighty in battle, put foreign armies to the flight. Women received their dead, raised to life again. Other peoples, though, were tortured, not accepting release so they might gain a better resurrection. Others experienced mockings and scourgings as well as bonds and imprisonments. They were stoned. They were sawed in two. They died by the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, destitute, afflicted, and mistreated. The world was not worthy of them. They wandered in deserts and on mountains, hiding in caves and holes and in the ground. All of these were approved through their... They were approved through their... Oh, man. But they did not receive what was promised, since God had provided something better for us, so that they would not be made perfect without us. By faith. By faith all this happened. By faith they were able to stand in the midst of kingdoms. And not bow down before societies. By faith, miracles happened. By faith, they were able to overcome everything and anything. By faith, they were willing to cast about the cares of the world and focus not on what is, but what is to come. Not because they knew what was coming, but because they know who he is.
That's right, that's right.
By faith, we live and breathe. By faith, even though the world around us gets darker and darker every stupid day, even though we live in a world where we have to look people in the face and tell them it's not okay to murder babies, we have to look them in the face and have a serious conversation about this and be like, it's not okay. It's not okay to take advantage and to destroy the most innocent of lives. It's not okay. We live in a world that tells us to bow before that altar. We live in a world where people mock us and laugh at us because that we have decided that the ways of God are better than the ways of the world. We live in a world where people say there is no objective truth, that everyone has their own truth. You should just live your own truth. What if my truth is different than yours? Which one of them is truth? Well, they both are. What? That doesn't make any sense. You're a bigot. What? I just said that didn't make any sense. We live in a world where they want us to come and bow before their altar, but we refuse because by faith, we've chosen to live our life a different way. All of a sudden, faith is not just some abstract thing. Faith becomes a way of life. Faith comes alive in us. Faith becomes how we define ourselves. Faith becomes how we live our lives. Faith becomes how we make every decision. Faith becomes how we overcome every obstacle. Faith becomes how we get everything that we could ever need, everything that we could ever desire. Now this is all starting to make sense to me. Faith is the gateway to grace. Faith is the confidence in what we hope for. It's proof of what you cannot see, man. Faith is seeking after and gaining the grace of God. Faith is the gateway to grace. Faith is to grace what seeing is to light. Faith is to grace what hearing is to sound. Faith is to grace what touch is to texture and temperature. Faith is to grace what taste is to flavor. Faith is to grace what smell is to scent and fragrance. You understand what I'm saying? Without sight, you can't see a beautiful sunrise or a sunset. Without sight, you can't see the face of your beloved. Without scent, you can't smell a flower garden as you walk by. You can't smell your favorite perfume on your favorite person. Without scent, you can't smell a coffee can that's just been opened. Somebody say amen. Without touch, you can't feel a cool wind on a warm summer day. Without touch, you can't feel the heat of a bonfire on a cold fall evening. Without touch, you can't feel the sensation of touching another human being, of hugging them, of being close to them. Without touch, you can't feel the cool side of the pillow. Yeah. Hallelujah. Without taste, you can't experience a steak that's cooked just right. Or a tomato plucked off the vine in your garden, not the ones that taste like styrofoam. You can't ever experience a banana pudding cupcake. Somebody say hallelujah. You can't experience those things. Without hearing, you can't experience the sound of your favorite song. Without sound, I couldn't hear my little buddy over there. He was cackling with laughter yesterday. Logan was making faces of him, and I swear it's the most beautiful sound I ever heard in my life. My big son was going, "Hey, little buddy," and making faces, and he was just laughing so hard he was crying. If I can't hear, I can't hear that. Without faith, you cannot experience the grace of God. Faith is the gateway. Faith is the sense. Faith is the opportunity to experience the grace of God. Without it, you can't experience it. Doesn't mean it's not there. It's there. It's there. Look at that. If I open a brand new, fresh, you know, thing of coffee, man, that scent is there. But if my smeller don't work, I can't experience that. The sun rises and sets every day, throws them pinks and blues all over the place, and it looks awesome. If I can't see, I can't experience that. It's still there. It still happens. I just can't experience it. Man, the grace of God is all around you. It's all around you. And we all experience His common grace. We do. I mean, the air we breathe, man, the all of it. That's His common grace. But the focused grace of God, we cannot experience it without faith. And so when we put our faith in Him, it opens the floodgates. When we put our faith in Him, it gives us everything that we could ever need. Everything that we ever need is available to us by His grace. By His grace, it's all that we could ever need. What 2 Corinthians 12 says, my grace is sufficient for you. Everything that we could ever need is in the grace of God, and it's right there in front of us. And yet, too many times we don't reach for it. We don't. We put our faith in something else. See, Romans 12, and you guys can look all this stuff up later. I'll post it online. Romans 12 said that God has given each man a measure of faith. See, that's another gift of God. See, our faith is not our own either. Faith is another gift from God given to everyone. What we determine is where we point it. God has given us a measure of faith. Where are you going to put it in? So God has given you this gift. We'll use this old crusty dollar. So God given me this gift of faith. The question is, what am I going to invest it in? What am I going to invest it in? And this is not a tithing sermon. I'm just using this as an example. I could take this dollar, and I couldn't buy much with it. I think they'll still sell me like a can of soda maybe for a dollar. And I could take it and I could buy something of the world that will give me some kind of refreshment, some kind of enjoyment for a fleeting moment. For a fleeting moment, I could do that. I could take the gift that God has given me and I could invest it in something of the world and put my faith in that thing of the world to bring me some kind of enjoyment just for a moment. And then I pop the cap on that sucker, drink it down, and that caffeine hits me and I feel a little better. That sugar was on my tongue. It tasted real sweet. Them carbonated bubbles, they feel good in your mouth, don't they? I don't know how that somebody came up with that, but man, it's a nice feeling. I don't like it that much, but a lot of people do. Hallelujah. And then in seconds, literally seconds, I mean, think about it. Literally seconds. That momentary worldly grace that we experienced, gone. Then what are we doing? Maybe I got another buck in here. Right? We're looking for some more. Looking for some more. Because what we had is gone. But if I take this, I take this gift of faith that God has given me and I invest it into the kingdom of God and I put my faith in Him and I put my faith in Him. I use this measure of faith that He has given me and I focus it on Him and on Him alone. Man, He will pour something out on me. He'll pour something out on me that the world can't even understand nor comprehend. That's why everybody thinks that we're nuts. He'll pour His grace out on me by my faith. His grace poured out on me. Something that will change me forever and ever. Something the world can never take away from me. Something that I will never have to give up. Something that I can hold on to for all of my days. And then by faith, I can overcome whatever obstacles get put in my path. By faith, I can do whatever I need to do. By faith, I can make sure that other people get to experience His incredible grace too. I told somebody first service, man, God's greatest desire is to pour His grace out on you. His greatest desire is to open the floodgates of heaven and just let his glorious grace just come raining down on you. And then after he does a work in you, man, he'll start doing a work through you. And then all of a sudden you're just overflowing with the grace of God. And then everybody you touch gets some on them too. You know, all the people that we went over in this hall of fame of faith in Hebrews 11 we talked about, they didn't. The grace didn't just affect them. And by faith they led nations. By faith, their stories are still speaking to us today. I mean, by faith, God has used these men and women and brought his glory down to earth through them. I don't know about you, but I want that to be my life. I want that to be my life. I want to be able to focus my faith on him and just let the just grace, the river of grace, man, just flow through me. I don't just want to put my toes in. I'm done with that. I did that for a long time, man. And so my toes were blessed, and the rest of me was struggling. And so then we go into our knees, right? And we think, hey, I'm in up to my knee. I feel pretty good from the knee down. But here's what happens to me. I don't know about you. That river of grace wants to carry me away. And if I had real faith, I'd jump in. But for whatever reason, I want to hang on to something on the shore. And even though the grace of God is trying to pull me to where he wants me to go, and even though it's scary, man, by faith in God, I should be willing to let go and just let his grace carry me wherever that it wants to carry me and do with me whatever it wants to do with me and make me into whatever it wants to make me into. But for whatever reason, I want to hold on tight to something of my old life. I want to hold on tight to something of the shore and not let it drag me under because I'm scared of where it's going to take me and I'm scared of what it's going to make me and I'm just scared. Just scared. Because I don't know. Because it's uncertainty, right? It's uncertainty because we don't know what's going to be. So it comes back to this. Is our faith in God because of what he's doing or because of who he is? I don't know about you, but I want my faith to be redefined. Not as something that I do, but it's everything that I am. Everything that I am. I don't want to be a person that has faith in God. I want to be faith. I want it to be every pore of my skin. I want it to be every electrical impulse in my brain. I want it to be every blood cell that flows through my veins. I want faith to define me. I want faith to define me. I want my faith to define me because by it I'm filled with the grace of the living God. Man, that's what I want. And so that when I come to these situations, these obstacles in life, man, I'm not even tempted to bow down before it. You know, first service, I talked about Shadrach and Meshach and Abednego, and then they're mentioned in there too that they overcame the raging fire, man. And the king asked them to bow before the golden statue and worship it. He wasn't asking them to do anything weird that the whole rest of the community wasn't doing. Everybody else was doing it. All the king was asking them to do was do the same thing everyone else is doing. How many times in the past little bit have you, as a follower of Christ, been asked just to do what everybody else is doing? Many? Just do what everyone else is doing. Why have you got to be so weird all the time? Why can't you just do what everyone else is doing? And so here's the crazy part about that story. These guys' nation had been conquered. Their homeland destroyed. Their precious Jerusalem crushed to the ground. Their families murdered. They got no reason to be praising God. They don't. In the natural. And yet after all that stuff, they've been carried away into slavery. And here they stand. Worshiping Him. Not because of what He's done, obviously, but because of who He is. They trust in who He is. I got a plaque in my house that has a really cool saying on it. It says, faith is not believing God can, it's knowing God will. I disagree. Really, it's not enough. And then ultimately, it's too much. If you want to correct it, you would say this, that faith is not just believing that God can do anything, but knowing that God will keep His promises. Yeah? So that first saying is too little. But it's also way too much. You can break it down real, real small. See, all you really need to say is this. Faith is knowing God. That's it. Faith is knowing God. That's all you need. It's just to know God. Because when you know God for who He is, not just for what He's done, not just for what He's doing, not just believing what He's going to do, I'm talking about knowing God personally, knowing God. When you know God, when that sickness comes and the doctor's telling you that you only got so long to live or whatever, you're like, nah, whatever. When you got that loved one, that family member that's trapped in addiction and sin and they just can't seem to break out of it, you're like, yeah, it's going to be all right. Because they know who He is. When your nation's been conquered, it's all right because you know who He is. When a house fell on your family and your skin broke out with boils, it's okay because you know who He is. When you've been told that you're going to have a baby that's going to be the offspring of many nations that are going to number the grains of sand on the seashore, but you're 100 years old, and maybe your equipment's not working like it was supposed to. It's okay, because you know who He is. When you're looking at the walls and they're high, and they're so high that you know you could never tear them down. You know you could never scale those walls. It's okay because you know who He is. When you're looking at the giant that's facing you down that wants to cut your head off and eat stew out of it, man, you don't care because you know who He is. When you're facing a society that wants to murder children and wants to tell us we're in the wrong, it's okay because we know who He is. When we're looking at a society that tells us that even though we're trying to be filled with love, that we're the hateful ones, it's okay because we know who He is. Man, when we're looking at a world that's filled with disease and war and destruction and crime and all these things, it's okay because we know who He is. And we're not going to turn our back on it because of circumstance. We know who He is. We know who He is. And man, we're going to keep loving God and loving people till He comes back to get us. Can you say amen? Because that's what we've been called to do. And because that's what faith is. 1 John 5 says the victory is in our faith. It's not in the outcome. It's in our faith. You know why? Because grace comes through faith. Ephesians 2, 8, and 9 says, for it is by grace. By grace that you have been saved through faith, not by works, so that no one can boast. But then that next verse in verse 10 says that He did it so you'd get busy. But it's not about the outcome. It's not about the outcome. It's about the faith. You know, I preached a few weeks ago that it's not how you start, it's how you finished. And one of my dear friends confronted me for some explanation on that sermon, which I really appreciate. What I mean by that is it's not how you start with your faith. It's how you finish with your faith. And I'm not talking about the circumstances or the outcomes that come through it, because you may never see what happens. Just like the people in this scripture, they didn't see what happened. But they did it with the expectation that He was coming. That He was coming. They didn't get to see Him. Abraham and Moses and Jacob and Isaac and Gideon and Samson and all these folks, man, they didn't get to see Him with their earthly eyes. They didn't see Him. But by faith, they knew that He was coming. Wait, church, we don't get to see Him with our eyes yet. We haven't seen Him. We haven't seen Him. But by faith, hallelujah, Maranatha, by faith, we know without a shadow of a doubt that one day He's going to split that eastern sky wide open. One day He's going to ride in on that white horse. One day with King of Kings and Lord of Lords, He's going to come back to get us. One day Jesus Christ is coming back. Can you say amen? And by faith, I'm going to live my life like it's true. Because I know who He is. And now, wait, church, I know who I am in Him. And I don't care what people say, because I don't live my life for them. And I don't even care what I see when I look in the mirror, because I don't live my life for me. I don't. I don't live my life for them. I don't live my life for me. My brother's favorite verse, man, Galatians 2:20, right? It's no longer I that live, but Christ who lives in me. Give Him praise if you believe it this morning. Come on down, Carly. And Nikki, too. Yeah. Come on, man. He is dependable. He is dependable. He is. You know, I've got an acronym too. I think it speaks right now about how we should pray. This is how we should pray. We should praise God. We should repent our sins. We should ask Him for what we need. And then ultimately, we should yield unto Him. See, that's what this life is all about. Way, church, only in surrender can you be free. And only by faith can you surrender. Because that's who my God is. That's who my God is. The victory's not in the outcome. The victory's in your faith. The victory's in your faith. Shadrach and Meshach and Abednego got thrown in the fire, right? And we know what happened. Nebuchadnezzar was like, I thought I threw three guys in there. Who's that fourth one? Oh, wait, he looks like the Son of God. And then they came out unharmed. But what if they hadn't? What if that fire would have burnt them to a cinder? Would their faith have been any less? No. Would their faith have been any less? No. The victory's not in the outcome. It's in your faith. By His grace are you saved. Yes. And you only get it through your faith.